A very good morning, church. We are experiencing quite cool weather these days. And I trust that for those of you who are a little less tolerant of cold, may bring a sweater with you, a shawl or something, right? Because it is difficult to adjust the aircon temperature to fit any individuals because we are gathering corporately. So please understand, if the aircon is too cold, find a place that is less cold. Bring a jacket with you or a sweater, all right? And I trust that all of us will be able to keep awake as we worship the Lord and also listen, particularly as we listen to His Word. Now let us turn our Bibles, please, to the scripture reading passage, which is the text of my message this morning. Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 to 13. This morning from Exodus chapter 17, I want to issue a call to all the children of God and members of New Life, BP Church. Wanted people like her. Oh, hold on. Wanted people like her. Now, sometimes we forget that in the Christian life, we are also in a spiritual battle. In the text of our message today, we see Israel's first battle with Amalek. This is a very important moment in the life of the nation of Israel. As they journey toward the promised land, they came face to face with the armies of Amalek, who is the grandson of Esau. These people were a nomadic tribe that was a constant thorn in the sight of the people of Israel. And in this first encounter, they proved their nature by conducting an unprovoked attack against the Israelites. The leader of the military force is none other than Joshua, the successor of Moses, who will lead the people of Israel into the promised land. And he's given instructions by Moses, the religious civil leader, whose guidance is always from God. By the time Joshua is ready and moves out with his military force, Moses will take a position overlooking the field of battle and will be equipped with the staff of God, the staff of Elohim, which is a symbol of Yahweh's powerful presence. So Joshua carries out and Moses proceeds to his position, accompanied by two persons, and they are Aaron and Hur. And we see here a marvelous display of teamwork amongst the four men that are mentioned in the battle with Amalek. The reason for Moses' position on the brow of the hill can be seen in what he does during the battle. The rod or the staff which Moses held up was the symbol and pledge of God's presence and working. And in some miraculous way, when Moses' hands are raised, it seems that he conducts the power of God to the military force led by Joshua. And as long as he held his hands up, Israel prevailed in the battle against Amalek. But when in weariness, he lowered his hands and it dropped, then the enemy forces prevailed against Israel. Now, how that works, we do not know, but it happens as described in the incident here. So God works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. So when Moses, through weariness, could not hold his hands up any longer, Aaron and Hur provided him a rock for a seat and held his hands up for him right through the daylight fighting hours. And as a result, Joshua was able to cripple the Amalekite attack. Now, people have long looked to Moses and also Joshua as great leaders and as role models, isn't it? Both men are classed in the Old Testament as true heroes of the faith. However, I would like to say that the real heroes in this particular story are Aaron and Hur. Of these two, Hur seems to stand out in my mind. Who is this man called Hur? Well, he is none other than the son of Caleb and the grandfather of the famous artisan Bezalel, described in 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verses 19 to 20. And he's mentioned along with Aaron as an assistant to Moses in Exodus 24, verse 14. Now, Josephus preserves a Jewish tradition that Hur was the husband of Moses' sister Miriam. But this cannot be verified, of course. However, here's a man about whom we know next to nothing. And yet, he with Aaron enabled an entire nation to see a great victory. So today, this morning, I'd like to pay a tribute to every Hur in the church. I would like to honor all those who are willing to take the behind-the-scenes task in the church. Those of you who are willing to make up what we call the second liners. People who are often unnoticed, unthanked, and unappreciated. People just like Hur. People who perform a vital function in the body of Christ, who enable the rest of us who make the front line to do what the Lord has called us to do. Allow me this morning to share with you four characteristics of people like Hur that make them very special to the work of God's kingdom. And they are, firstly, people like Hur are absolutely invaluable. Absolutely invaluable. In this story, the task that Hur accomplished that day doesn't sound like a lot to you and me, does it? Just holding up Moses' hand, you know, one of his hand, no big deal. Doesn't sound like a lot of work. But had it not been for the work of this man and also Aaron, Moses would not have had the strength to do his job. And Joshua would never have been able to lead Israel to victory in the battle. To me, Aaron and Hur are the heroes of this conflict. Why? Because the job performed by them were absolutely invaluable. Had Aaron and Hur not been there, the battle would have been lost, and Israel would have been defeated by the Amalekites. In application, may I say that things haven't changed today in this sense. They are still found the Moses, the Aarons, the Joshuas, those frontliners in the church that are visible. You have the chairman for worship, someone leading corporate prayer, you have the song leader, you have the preacher, you know, you have the ushers coming forward. They are seen, they are visible. All right, these are the frontliners. But there are also people behind every one of these frontliners, what I would call an army of Hurs. An army of Hurs. There's a vast number of people in the church who are interceding privately for the church. There are others who are carrying the load and supporting the frontliners so that they are able to do their work effectively. These are the hers, the behind the scenes. Their work is invaluable. You see, people who lift up the hands of those who are weary in the Lord's work are indispensable, and we need people like that. You know, once in a while, to encourage me, the Lord will send some, maybe I'll receive a note, a card, from time to time, occasionally, all right? And then in those cards will be written how the person appreciated, you know, the messages preached and things like that. And these encourage me when I'm down, depressed, because in the work of God, you don't see immediate results. Not like in sales. You can measure, you know, how much you do your sales in January, in February, in March. But in spiritual work, it is hard to measure how much has been accomplished and how much are successful. So people like her that lift up the hands of those who are weary are absolutely indispensable and invaluable in the church. And I'm sure many of you have received that kind of encouragement yourself from one another. And may God help those of you who have the gift of encouragement to do more of that ministry. No price can ever be placed on what people like her are worth to the church. So firstly, people like her are absolutely invaluable in the church. Secondly, people like her are always involved. Now, her wasn't just called up on the last minute to go with Aaron to hold up the hands of Moses. I'm sure he has been in serving quietly with Moses and Aaron. And when the time is needed, he's called upon. And isn't that also how God works? Sometimes we say, wow, we are overloaded. Why always me? Why always the same people? You know why? Because God always gives work to the faithful. If you are faithful in little, what did the Bible say? You'll be faithful in much. So expect when you're faithful in little, God to give you, will give you more and more so that you can trust in His grace. Of course, sometimes we feel overworked, overloaded, even in the ministry of the church. And that is where we have to learn to what? Encourage others to come in together to serve with us. And serve together. So people like her are always involved. Now, her wasn't a great leader. Her wasn't a great leader like Moses. He wasn't a great general like Joshua. He wasn't a great high priest like Aaron. He was just a simple, normal person called her. However, on this day, there was one thing that her could do, and he did it willingly and faithfully. He could hold up the hand of Moses, and he did the best job he could together with Aaron. And the main thing to remember is that there is room for all who want to be involved in the Lord's work. Don't ever have the idea that, oh, all the ministries in the church are filled already, there's nothing for me to do. Not true. If you come and ask us or the ministry leaders in the church, Sunday school soup, department soup, and others, there is always a need for more workers. Our choir department needs more workers, more singers as well. Everywhere, if you name the ministries we have in the church, we need more hands to help and to serve. So don't get the wrong idea that there's no more room for you. There's always room for those who want to be involved in the Lord's work. We have need for greeters, ushers, cleaning teams, PA crew, Sunday school teachers, musicians, choir members, and you name it, the list goes on and on and on. So remember that little is much when God is in it. And there's always a place in the Lord's work for people who want to serve Him. So people like her are absolutely invaluable. Secondly, people like her are always involved. And thirdly, people like her are often invisible. Often invisible. This man, her, is not mentioned before this incident. And there are only a couple of others afterward where her is mentioned. This is a man who lived in the shadow while others around him stand in the limelight and receive the credit, inverted commas, so to speak. He was invisible to the crowd who could only see Moses, Aaron, because he's the high priest, and Joshua, the military general. Now, after the battle, can you imagine Joshua as he led the victorious Israelite army back to the camp of Israel? I'm sure there were congratulations all around and shouts, "Way to go! Good work, Joshua!" And I could see the people as they received Moses back into the camp with shouts and expressions of gratitude. I can hear Aaron as he led the congregation in a prayer of thanksgiving to the Lord for giving them the victory. Then I can see a fellow named Hur as he walks wearily towards his tent to rest. No one pats him on the back. No one tells him that he did a great job. In fact, to the people, he is invisible. But in his heart, he is overjoyed because he knows that what man does not know, God does. And that reminds me of Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. Will you turn to that verse with me and read it together with me? And I believe with all my heart that her, though he does not have the New Testament then, has this attitude reflected here in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. If you have turned to that verse, let us read together. "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." So who is watching her? The invisible, the man who is a second liner, often unseen as he serves God. God is. While no one in camp is telling her that he did a great job that day, the Father in heaven takes note of her work. And I'm sure her, in his heart, is comforted, encouraged by the "well done, thou good and faithful servant," as he remembers the omniscient God watching over him. And that's enough for him, that God does notice his work and labor of love. So our omniscient God, beloved, watches over all of us as we serve him, whether in the front line or as a second liner. He observes and he takes note of all the good things and the sacrifices you have made for the edification of this church, for the evangelism of sinners and the unsaved outside his kingdom. He takes notes of all this, even if no one else does, no human being does. But also remember that God takes note of the bad things and the harmful things that people do to his church, because this is his church, and Jesus gave his life for his church. And he will repay as well. As he rewards the faithful, he repays those who are his enemies. So we need to be warned, even as we serve the Lord, because he's a consuming fire. And we must serve him acceptably, with fear, with godly fear and reverence. So what a lesson to the church today. Not everyone can preach. Not everyone can sing. Not everyone can play musical instruments. Not everyone can lead congregational singing. Not everyone can do the visible jobs. But we need to remember that God has placed us in his body in the place that please him. He assigned the gifts to us, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And isn't it true that you find the greatest joy when you fit into a particular ministry where God has gifted you with the strength and the talents? But if you fit into something else that you want to do, but you have not been gifted to do, you feel what? On the other hand, frustration. Isn't it? Frustration, and you just want to give up after a while because that's not your fit, if I may put it that way. All right? So find, discover your gifts, your strength, your talents, and serve God in the ministry that requires those gifts for the building up of the body of Christ, not for the showing off of how good you are and how talented you are. So my exhortation to you, which I want to bring you to 1 Corinthians 12 in application, is that whether we are a highly visible part of the body of Christ or an obscure, unnoticed part, remember that we are all essential to the proper functioning of the body of Christ. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I hope you have time that you will meditate on this passage and then pray and ask the Lord to open your eyes and your heart to see where He has gifted you and how you can minister to this body of Christ. Now, it's a long, long passage, so I'm not going to read the whole passage with you, but I'm going to read a paraphrase of this passage as you look at your King James Version. This is a paraphrase of the passage you just turned to in your KJV. Ready? Begin. But, thank you very much. So people like her are not only invaluable, always involved, they are often invisible. There are many in our church today who are just like her. They are invisible to the crowds. But what they do, remember, are invaluable, necessary, indispensable. And I hope that people like her will always be involved, even though they may not be seen and they are invisible. Now, if we stop serving God because no one brags on us, then we are just in it for the recognition, isn't it? You know, there are two types of people in churches today, including ours. There's a group of people who want to serve, but you ask them, can I nominate you in the next election to be a deacon or to be an elder? And they say, oh, no, 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 please don't. I don't want to be in session for whatever reasons, all right? But I just want to serve. And they're happy serving as a non-session member. I think many of you are like that, if not most of us here. Then there's a small percentage of people, I think these are just a handful, and who will say, if I'm not elected to session, I'm not going to serve. Now, which attitude do you think we should have? I hope all of us here have the first attitude. We don't have to be in session to serve God. And I speak for myself. I don't have to be in session to serve God. But because of the structure, leadership of the structure of our church and our constitution, bo pian, no choice, right? Have to be in session. I think most of us would share the sentiments in session. If we don't have to be, we won't want to be. But because there's a need to have a leadership body, all bo pian, got to be in session. So pray for us, because it's not easy. All right, to be in session. Why? Because the session is the visible frontliners. Anything go wrong, whose neck do you squeeze? The senior pastor. I'm the first to be hanged, crucified. Because you say, Pastor, you're responsible, what? For the whole session, for the board, not easy to be a leader, but sometimes necessary. And we need your prayers and your understanding, because we, the session members, are like you. We are not perfect. We make mistakes. So when we do, please be forgiving. And then please try and help us instead of adding burdens to us. We need people like her to lighten the burdens of the leadership and all those who are in charge of the various ministries in our church, the NBCs, fellowship groups, and you name it. We need you to lighten our burden. I speak for all of them who are leading some ministries. Please help us. Pray for us. Volunteer, even if it is on a project basis. And just in case you are not aware, I want to make an advertisement here, although I shouldn't do it. The choir need more members. I know the commitment level in the choir is very, very heavy. You have to stay back. 1:45, 2 o'clock, I think, to 3 or 3:30. Right? Commitment level very high, almost every Sunday. Breaks once in a while. But we need more people to join the choir. If you cannot commit one whole year, and I think I'm correct to say, but correct me if I'm wrong, Sister Chai Ping is very flexible. You can join on a project basis. Easter is coming, so there will be some special items for Easter. You can say, okay, I cannot commit a whole year, but I think from now till Easter, I can commit my time to sing. And you are gifted, you have the voice, all right, to sing. You can carry a tune. Then you go and volunteer on that project basis. Sing until, practice until Easter. Then once done, you are not available, just tell Sister Chai Ping. Well, we have a call, but the call is not very big. We hope that a choir call will grow bigger and more younger ones will also join the choir as well. All right, so that's just a little sidetrack. So people like her are absolutely invaluable, always involved, but often invisible. So don't serve God just because you are not visible. You're not in the front line. You're not a session member. You're not in charge of a ministry. You can serve God in the little places. Holding the hand of Moses, just something nobody saw. Maybe a small, insignificant work, but actually it was such an important service, because without her and Aaron holding up the hand of Moses, Israel would have lost the battle. The Apostle Paul reminds us to serve the Lord not with eye service as man pleases, but doing the will of God from the heart. And I'm convinced that those who serve like her while here below will receive the greatest acclaim in heaven. Therefore, if the Lord has called you to perform a quiet, unseen ministry, rejoice in the call he has extended and let him use your life as he sees fit. After all, it is his kingdom, and he knows where we are needed far better than we do. And I praise the Lord for every one of you who is faithfully serving behind the scenes. This last December, I led a team of 23 to Siem Reap to do two outreach places. One is Brother Somani's place, which is our children that was left behind. And the other one is a new opening called Aspire Orphanage. Now, I may be the leader of the team, but I had my assistants. I could not do it by myself. I had Aaron, Carol, Wee Kwang, Celia, all playing a very important role in the planning and organization of this mission trip. And the success of these two outreaches is the effort of our teamwork of all 23. Each of them in the team willing to do his part or her part without any complaint. They just did the best they could, young and old, and it's so amazing to see young and old serving and families coming together to serve the Lord. Our one big handicap, of course, is the language barrier. So we need interpreters, right? So thank you for your prayers for us, and we will give a report on this mission trip another time. Number four, people like her are not only absolutely invaluable, always involved, often invisible. Finally, people like her are great investors, great investors. As her live his life and perform his God-given ministries, others were watching him, other people, all right, besides God. Although he's not visible, he has a family. Sometime later, God needed someone to build the tabernacle and provide a place where the Lord could meet with his people. When the Lord looked down at those millions of Israelites, his eyes settled on one man, one person, by the name of Bezaleel, B-E-Z-A-L-E-E-L. I alluded to him earlier. Now, who is this man? This man happened to be the grandson of Hur. And he did all the artistic work for the tabernacle. Now, my guess is that Bezaleel, the grandson of Hur, was watching his grandfather as he served the Lord. He probably remembered an evening when Hur returned from a hilltop, tired and drained from holding up the arms of Moses, while the rest of the camp was excited about the great victory that Joshua and Moses had worked. Bezaleel probably took note of the fact that it was his grandfather also, a man who was willing to serve God in a quiet fashion, that helped bring that great victory. What I'm trying to get through to you is this. You may not have a high-profile position in the church. You may think that giving, cleaning the church, praying, teaching your Sunday school class is an unimportant function. May I remind you that others around you are watching you as you serve the Lord. Your children, your grandchildren, your friends next to you. What are you telling them about your service to God? I hope they are getting the message that Bezaleel was getting from his grandfather, that there are no unimportant duties and work in the church. The wise follower of Christ knows that his life is really an investment for eternity. So as we do the little things that God gives us, we are telling all around us that the work of God is important. The work of God is important. And in application, that's why I believe that we ought to be on time and ready for worship and ministry on the Lord's Day. If you're on duty for ushering or greeting, be on time. And members of the church, we are coming to worship God together, be on time. You know why? Because our neighborhood are watching us coming in. We have banners put out, not only for kindergarten enrollment, but also for our church services, right? English service 9:30, Chinese service 11:30, Tamil 9:30 a.m. And then they see all these people walking in. Wow, 10 o'clock still walking in, strolling in. Still at the market. They know you're from New Life. What kind of a testimony are we to the watching world? What kind of testimony are you as a parent to your child? Sorry, I don't want to rebuke, but it sounded like a rebuke. All right, that's not what I'm trying to get at, all right? What I'm trying to get at is, may we realize that the work of God is so important, and we send the right message, all right, to the people around us, even our own family members, so that we tell them that we are very proud of our God. And we do that. One of the things the way we do it is by being punctual. And we tell the world that God's business is the most important business in the world. And when we serve the Lord as we should, we are making an investment in the lives of others. And in that sense, we make a great statement about the greatness of our God. Every deed done for Christ, big or small, may I remind us, is an investment in eternity. Did not the Lord Jesus say to lay up treasures in heaven and not on earth? He tells us that in Matthew chapter 6, I believe. Would you please read the paraphrase for me, beginning from that verse? Do not store up. Thank you. And he ended in verse 33 by saying, but seek ye first. Seek what first? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things that you need, clothing and food and other things for sustenance, will be added unto you. And we always hear this quote, isn't it? Only one life will soon be passed. What's done for Christ will last. And it is true. What's done for Christ will last. So people like her are great investors. They invest in eternity. So in conclusion, here in this story, let us realize that God is the focus. We see that he fights for his people, but we also see that he uses people like her. And of course, Aaron and Joshua and Moses and the others in the military force in this battle against the Amalekites. And I'm almost sure that there are some here today who can relate to her. You are dedicated to the Lord, but you are never recognized for your contributions. Let me tell you this morning that you are appreciated. God sees your work, he appreciates it. Your pastor thinks that you are the best. People like her. And I praise and thank God for every one of you who is involved in the Lord's work in whatever capacity. And also just being here for worship is a great encouragement. Maybe some here this morning have thought about quitting. Please let me say, don't. You are vital to the Lord's work here in New Life. If the devil has been trying to convince you that you are unimportant, do not listen to his lies, because the Word of God tells us you are important, even the part that is ugly is needful. So may I challenge you this morning, all of us here, whether you're in the front line or you're the second liners, may I challenge you to renew your commitment to serve Christ in any way that he may see fit to use you. Perhaps there are some in our midst here who are not saved, and you don't know a thing about what I'm saying about serving God. Well, although this has not been a salvation type of message, but I want to let you know, dear friends, that Jesus loves you and that he died to save you from your sin. And if you want to have your sins forgiven and receive eternal life, so that one day when your journey on earth is over, you may go to heaven, then may I urge you this morning to come to Jesus and embrace his salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. We are still at the beginning of a new year, second Lord's Day. New year. In this new year, may you find new life. And may those of us who have new life find our life in Christ, one that is joyful and abundant. May God help us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for using us. We are but sinners saved by grace, and yet you have chose to use us to fulfill your purposes for the church and also for the world. We know that without you, we can do nothing. Help us to depend upon you for wisdom, power, strength, health, and grace, so that we may serve you till Christ come faithfully. Thank you for the frontliners in the church. Thank you also for the second liners, people like her, who are invaluable, often invisible, but they are great investors. Thank you for each one of them who are involved, whether in small or big ways, but faithfully supporting the various ministries of the church. May there be more faithful hers in new life, so that, Lord, your name may be glorified as we make a great statement that everything we do for you is important. So help us in all our good works after salvation, that others who are watching us may glorify our Father in heaven. To this end, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.